This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. Today on the line with me is Meredith Curtis from Powerline Productions, and you can visit Meredith as well as my website at Media Angels by going to our podcast post. And if you go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and look for the Supermom post, which is what today's talk is all about, you will find links to both of our websites. So welcome, Meredith. I'm so glad to have you.
Oh, Felice, I'm so excited to be here, and you're talking about something near and dear to my heart because I think all of us struggle with having that supermom mentality. And so I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Before we get started, Meredith, I want to talk about something coming up. If you're listening in the archives and you missed it, there is a Finish Well coming up next year, but it's coming up soon, and we are doing this podcast in June, so Finish Well is in July this year. So it is the Finish Well Conference, and it really is gearing up to be an amazing event. I have attended every single year and have been, you know, it's one of those conferences where I speak, but I walk away more blessed than anything else because of how loving everybody is. It's, you know, Meredith and her husband, Pastor Mike, have a church in Orlando, and their entire Finish Well family comes and helps out. And it's finishwellcon.com, and it's in July. So, Meredith, it's July 8th and 9th, and just share a little bit about what people can expect.
Well, I am so excited, Felice, because this year Matt Staver is coming to the conference on Friday night, and he is going to be talking about how to raise leaders for the 21st century, and to the teens and children who will be there, he'll be telling them how to be leaders in the 21st century. And so he's just such an amazing man who has argued before the Supreme Court as a lawyer. And wow. So exciting. So, and then as always, on Friday afternoon, we start with Airsoft. We have the Mom's Heart to Heart. And Saturday, we move into all kinds of workshops and how to homeschool high school, how to homeschool middle school. And my daughters are actually putting together a workshop called Electives We Loved, and they're going to talk about their favorite electives and how they impacted them in their life. And so anyway, so we're really excited about just the wide variety. We have Suzanne Nunn coming from FPEA. We have Cheryl Bastian and Grant Malloy, and of course my husband and the Finish Well team, and they are so excited. Zach is doing a workshop on Worship Isn't Girly, and so I'm excited to hear about that one. And so anyway, we just have a great event lined up, workshops for teens, workshops for children, even a dinosaur workshop for the children. So things are wonderful. Looking wonderful, and we're just counting the days until the conference.
Yeah, and so for those of you in the Orlando area, it is here in Florida, and if you're not in the Orlando area, there are lots of hotels nearby. If you're within driving distance, I would highly recommend that you go, and there are still tickets available for this event, so it would be great to go online and check that out, and it's very reasonable. You know, Meredith keeps the family in mind. This year I am not attending because my daughter is getting ready to have a baby at that same time. So this will be the first one that I will miss. But I have really enjoyed going, as has my family, and especially the teenagers, because, you know, Meredith, you have just such a welcoming home And it just extends to this conference, so it is wonderful. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. And so as we're going to get started today on the topic of being a supermom, both Meredith and I are going to share a little bit about what we think when we think of the term supermom. So Meredith, why don't you go ahead? What do you think a supermom is?
Well, of course, the world wants to tell you that a supermom is someone who goes outside the home and works and brings in money and then in the home gets up and makes gourmet meals and is a size 5 and 6 feet tall with long legs and is, has a great marriage and is well-behaved children who are perfect in every way. And I think that's kind of the image that we all don't want to be entrapped by, but I think we do get entrapped by that kind of image when I think really what God would say is that it's a woman who fears the Lord, and because she fears the Lord, her children rise up and call her blessed. But the truth is, I think we're bombarded by the world and the world's image of what it means to be a super mom. Oh, and did I mention making all your own baby food and growing all your food in garden in the backyard? Organic, of course.
Of course, yeah. And that's my thing where I can't even barely grow basil. My kids came home and each one of them had to tell me that I was not growing it on the right side of the house where I normally have it because I wanted it on the porch. So, yeah, it's definitely not super mom around here. And I think, the definition that I hear is in a nutshell, is that there isn't anything you can't do. And, of course, you do everything well or extremely well. And so that is, what happens is we look at these things and we say we just can't do it. And so you fall short, you give up, or you feel extreme guilt. And so today we are going to relieve you of all that guilt because we're going to share our top 5 supermom ideals. And even the graphic that I used for this show, each one of our podcasts on this network has, some kind of visual. And the visual I chose, I love because the mom is sitting there with a little one, up around her neck. That is, she's sitting on the floor. And, of course, it is a clutterless scene in this picture, and the carpet isn't off-white, and there aren't grape juice stains that I can see on it. But she's just sitting there enjoying her child, and I love the way the light is coming in. So if you are listening to this on iTunes or on a podcast app on your phone, go check out that little visual on Vintage Homeschool Moms. Just look for Supermom because I just love it. It just is a peaceful scene. And that's my ideal of what a supermom is. It's just, having that little bit of joy and peace with your family. So, Meredith, why don't you share your number one supermom ideal with us?
Well, number one, a supermom is a servant. The Bible tells us that the greatest in the kingdom are the servants. And, we are, what a perfect opportunity to learn servanthood is motherhood. And, from getting up in the middle of the night with a sick baby or comforting a little one who's had a nightmare to getting up early and getting the kids ready for the day and having to stop to discipline, having to stop to nurse a baby, having to stop to take a toddler to the bathroom. We're just constantly serving, and sometimes we can think that is demeaning, but servanthood is the most esteemed thing in the kingdom. And so we as supermoms see ourselves as servants, and not just servants of our families, but servants of the Lord. And what a great privilege to be a servant of the Lord.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I love that you gave that analogy between leaders versus servants, because a lot of times I hear of moms who do everything for their kids. And, to the point of you know, I don't even let my kids set the table because I'm using the nice china. And my
right.
response is get rid of the nice china and, you know, allow your children to help and you won't
right.
be so inundated and so frustrated and, you know, so overwhelmed. And this was a really good friend of mine who was a homeschool mom, and that's how she grew up. Her mom always used, you know, her stuff, and so she, that was the way she was brought up, and that's how she thought she had to run her household. But, you know, as I shared with her, her mom didn't try to homeschool her kids as well as have, you know, the stair step children. You know, they're very close in age, and especially when they're little, it's, you know, it's difficult, and it makes, to me, it would make dinner very stressful to be using nice plates that could possibly, you know, get broken instead of the stuff that kind of bounces off the floor, you know,
yes.
especially as I have tile floors and everything breaks on these. But my number two was about leading, and the question I asked is, where are you leading, and do you have a way or a path? I tend to float, and then I get dismayed at the direction I'm going. And I had to realize, like, at the beginning of every summer, really, because as homeschoolers, it's really weird. When I was a school teacher, we were done, you know, May, early June, and then you put everything away and you didn't even think about school till maybe August because, you know, we started in September. But now it just seems, you know, as homeschoolers, people are talking about new curriculum in March, and I'm thinking we haven't even, you know, finished our school year, and there's all this pressure to get done. And the buying cycle is different for homeschoolers. We just had our big conference here in Orlando at the FPEA at the end of May. And my daughter's graduation party, there was a family one at home just last week, and then we're going to do one tomorrow with, like, our larger group here in town. So it just seems like, well, we already did that. And so things, you know, sometimes are out of a sequential order or as orderly as you would like to have it. But I've realized early on that I needed to plan for my next year at the end of my year, because that allowed me to have an idea of where I was going to be going, and then I could relax in the summer if I wanted to, you know, not do a whole lot of, you know, formal education, but we would do, you know, read some special books that we wanted to talk about, or, you know, maybe do some art projects or music or something, you know, study the classics, something that didn't quite fit into our curriculum. Or where, you know, where we were going in that regard. And so I realized I had to have more of a focus of where I was leading them, because some of my children, you know, with their different personalities of kids, were getting frustrated, and others were floating along with me, not having any focus. And that's not a good thing either, because we can, you know, surely, you know, lead them on a correct path. And if we know where we're going, you know, that we can talk about what we're going to be learning and have some input from them, then it really does help. So that's really important. And I'm going to jump into my number one, because I know you have something, you know, similar to that. And my number one point was, mom sets the tone, and who are you in Christ? Which kind of goes along with the leading as well. But and I know that for some, and you know, it's sad, but it's out there, you know, that don't have a relationship with the Lord and are, you know, tend to be angrier sometimes, and, you know, maybe displaced, for lack of a better word. So see if you can follow my train of thought here where I'm going with this. But it's just like, you know, there seems to be a loss or a loss of focus if the Lord isn't in your life. And for me, that's the anchor. It's how I want to start out my day, is with prayer and, you know, God's word. And having that as a focus has really helped me to set the tone for my family. And you know, I was on Facebook earlier today, and I saw somebody's post, and it was really sad. And the mom said, I'm really upset with my kids' decisions in life, and now I'm wondering if I should have even raised them in the church. And to me, that was like, well, of course you should have, you know, raised. I didn't respond. I don't know who this person is. And I don't, you know, that must be one of my friends or a friend of, you know, how sometimes you see stuff that's not necessarily someone you're a friend with. But I guess there were so many responses by my friends. Anyway, the point here is that, you know, you can only lead your children so far. But if there's not consistency or if there's not example, and they bond with somebody outside, you know, or even somebody within the church walls, which we all know, you know, is not necessarily, you know, your safety is not just within a building. You know, your safety is going to be with the Lord. And so I wanted you to add to that, and, you know, what would your response be with this lady that, you know, I mean, it was like a heart cry. She was so, so upset, and I just felt for her. So we're definitely, we'll keep her in prayer.
Felice, as a pastor's wife, I am so grieved at the state of the church right now. There is so much going on inside the church that really grieves the Holy Spirit and is in direct violation of the Word of God, and that is where we're living. And I think that's why in the Word, the Lord says, if someone claims to be a believer, but they're not living the way a believer should, then we're to be, not have anything to do with them. And then it goes on to say, I'm not talking about those who don't know the Lord. So he's not saying if unbelievers are living like the devil, you know, that's how they live. But if someone is claiming to be a Christian, but they're living, you know, they're getting drunk, they're indulging in sexual immorality, they're doing these things, we're not to have anything to do with them because they are the biggest danger to our children. And that, in saying that, I have seen that in my own children. When they're pulled in a bad direction, it's inevitably by someone who claims to be a Christian but is not living like a Christian. And so I think as parents that's really hard because none of us want to be judgmental and all of us want to give grace to people because we know we need so much grace to grow and change.
Right.
So I think there's a very delicate balance. I'm going to say this. The people that your children spend time with, you need to be extra, extra vigilant about who your children spend time with. Don't just assume because they met someone at church that it's going to be fine. My husband was a youth pastor for 10 years, and we would notice that two rebellious people who did not know each other, in our youth group was about 50 kids, by the end of the night, they would find each other. It didn't matter how hard we tried to keep them apart, and people will gravitate to other rebellious people. And so I'm just saying that as parents, you know, we need to learn about the character of the other children that our kids are building relationships with. And, you know, it can be harder when they're teens because you want to give them more freedom and when they're young adults. But one of the best advice I could give is make your house the hangout place and be around and keep plenty of soda and chips and snacks and, you know, and just be there and be around and listen in. And, you know, I've done that with all five of my children, and it's cost, you know, it's cost some money to keep the big supply of food and chips and sodas. But right. I am not kidding. It's been well worth the effort. And I do want to just move on to my next point because it has to do with that lives are changed in the context of relationships, and that's for better or for worse. So if we're building relationships with people that are angry, the Bible says that if we're close friends with an angry man, we're going to learn his ways. If we're building relationships with people that are pursuing righteousness, then we're going to be a pursuer of righteousness. So it's not just for kids, but it's for us. Who are we close to? Because those people are going to impact our lives. And it's the same as us with our children. their lives are changed in the context of their relationship with us, and rules without relationship breeds rebellion. So many times I meet a parent and they say, oh, my child is so rebellious, and my husband would say the same thing. Okay, number one, work on the relationship. Get the relationship right, because if you have a rebellious child, the way that you're going to impact them is through your relationship with them. It doesn't matter how old they are, but it especially is true for teens and young adults. So in relating to our children and building a relationship with our children, they need to know that our love for them is consistent, and it has nothing to do with how they behave, that whether they behave badly or well, we still love them, although if they behave badly, there'll definitely be consequences, and we don't like them behaving badly, but it doesn't affect our love for them. And one of my favorite lines is from this movie. I cannot remember the name of it, but it's about this. It had Katie Hudson, and she gets custody of her sister's children. And,
oh yeah, Kate Hudson, I think. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. and the daughter goes off with this boy, and the other sister goes and she gets the daughter out, and then she says to the boy, "You are not a bad person, but this is very bad behavior." And she pulls him by the ear, you know, out of the situation that he's in. And I just thought that's, you know, so much our heart needs to be to our children. God has a call in your life. God is going to move in you, you know, and you're responding to him, and you need his grace, and you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to get back up. But I love you. I'm for you. However, right now, this is bad behavior, and let's not do this. And you know, so I'm not saying be soft about bad behavior, but be really aggressive in loving your children and really aggressive in building a good, healthy communication relationship with your children, because you want to have children who talk to you about everything, and that means that you have to be a safe person to talk to. And so whatever needs to happen, whether it's a date night once a week with your kids, whatever needs to happen so that your children can communicate with you and know that you're going to accept them, that's very, very important. So lives are changed in the context of relationships, and that is a truth that can, you know, it's going to happen no matter what. It's going to happen for the bad or the good. Let's take advantage of that, and let's be the ones who impact our children because we have such a close relationship with them.
And that is so important. And I published a book called Secret Code Time, Creating an Unbreakable Bond Between Parent and Child. You know the book, Meredith. And,
I love that book. I have a copy.
Yeah, and
I love it.
They were at, Skye was at the conference in Orlando, and I think she's at a point now where they're ready to start their podcast on this network, which I hope they will, because it's going to be all on listening to your children and talking to them and just handling different behavioral issues, because she and her mom have just mentored people within the church for so many years. And that is just so important. And that book actually, I'm a mom of a long, many years, and that book helped me a lot with one of my sons who is very, very quiet. It really helped it saved our relationship. Just because of that book. And one of the things it talked about, like you were sharing, that with relationships, one of the keys is not flipping out when they talk to you and just listening. And for me, those two things were very difficult, just to be quiet and to listen and not have to say, you know, put my two cents in. So, it was wonderful, and that is available on the Media Angels website, which segues us into a really short commercial. And when we come back, Meredith and I will continue to share three more points each on this great podcast on Supermoms. We'll be right back.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and e-books about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Hi and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Meredith Curtis on the line, and today we are talking about supermoms. And each of us have shared a couple of our mom ideals. Meredith, verse 2, were leaders versus servants, and lives are changed in the context of relationships. And mine, verse 2, were mom sets the tone, who are you in Christ, and where are you leading? Do you have the way or the path? And as you can see, neither one of us is saying anything about perfect meals or a perfect home. I think we're pretty realistic here. Meredith, it's really true. I mean, that is my number 4 is that everything doesn't have to be perfect, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. It really is true that there is more to being a supermom than what the world thinks it is. So share with us another one of your topics.
Well, one of the things that I've learned from being a mom for so many years, my oldest daughter is almost 30, is that more is caught than taught. And it's more important to be the person you want your children to become than to tell them how to become the person you want them to become. So little things like good manners, things like keeping your word, pursuing God, reading, studying the word, how you love people, putting others before yourself, obeying scripture, all of those things are things that children notice whether you do or not do. And I know I can get into a rut sometimes. You know, Felice has been to my house. There's so many people that come in and out of my house. Right. I got to a point where when people would come in, I would just stop greeting with them because, like, they usually had another purpose to be there. And so the Lord really convicted me one day, and I just said, oh, okay. You know, and so when people come in, I'd stop what I was doing and say, hi, it's good to see you. And so... one of the things that I think moms need to do regularly is ask themselves, am I the kind of person that I want my children to become? And if there's anything about who you are that, you know, you're not really sure you want duplicated in your little ones, then ask the Lord to help you to change, and ask the Lord to keep filling you with His Spirit. Love covers a multitude of sins, and the most important thing is that we love God and love people. And especially, you know, give your best to your family. Lavish them with love. Lavish them with attention. And you will be surprised at how your children imitate you. And I've just seen that over and over and over, that parents that have violent tempers, they end up with children with violent tempers, even if they've disciplined them their whole childhood, whenever they lose their temper, because we more is caught than taught.
Yeah, very good. And that goes along with several, I think we have like overlapping themes going here, but one of the ideals is to stop and smell the roses, and that's taking time with your kids and family, and like you said, with people who just stop in. People don't stop in here because I think I live a little bit off the beaten track. But, you know, so I know, but I have, you know, family coming, and it's always an open door for whenever they want to visit. And I know for me, I'm so focused on getting things done that, especially in business, and as I shared with many of you on this podcast, that I do help my husband with his business, and I help him with marketing, and that's like in-person business marketing. So a lot of times I'm, you know, scheduled out for weeks, and, you know, like right now I'm looking at my calendar because I, like most of you, have a school calendar. So it's, you know, June to June, and I'm already thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to get the Julys, because on my June's calendar note, I have all the things coming up in July that are, you know, I don't have a July calendar right now. And so sometimes I get so focused on what the schedule is and what the plan is that I don't get focused on the here and now and the today. And so I will, you know, move things. Like right now the kids are, I have one playing on a travel ball team, another one playing softball here in a league in Fort Myers that may go on to the national competitions, and they do like fitness training. So I will drop everything and make sure I'm the one who picks up or brings them when I can. Also, just to be able to hang out, to go get a milkshake, and I don't really drink milkshakes. I don't like them, which is really good because my whole family loves them. And if I love them too, I might be making them too much. But, you know, like the other day we were out and had run a bunch of errands, and I just said to Michael, let's go get a milkshake. And he was really cute, and he goes, and not bring some to everybody, because I think everybody's home now, and I hadn't realized it was that late and that it was dinner time, and we were just going to grill burgers, so it was kind of perfect. So we stopped, and we got milkshakes for everybody, and I brought them home, and it was just like this big treat, because we don't ever go buy milkshakes, you know, especially if I can make them for everyone. And it was just, you know, it was, you know, kind of like one last thing. I am the kind of person that wants to make everything from scratch, and one of my favorite magazines, it tells you the science behind the cooking, which I love, and I read from cover to cover, even if it's something I'm not going to make. I just like to understand the science behind it, you know, no surprise. But I've learned, Meredith, that I don't have to, you know, yes, there are some things like make my tomato sauce from scratch, you know, and things like that. But there are so many things that I'm like so proud of myself when I can just go buy, you know, something, and it's a little bit of a shortcut, and it saves time so I can be with my family. And I purposely, when we renovated, or actually it was when we built this house years and years ago, my husband's a builder, and you've been over to my house, Meredith, so you know, but I purposely put my kitchen and my family and eating room, it's called a great room here in Florida, and so that I, when I'm in my kitchen and if I'm doing dishes or if I'm cooking, I'm still with the whole family. Mm-hmm. So I knew that that was, cooking was a big part of my life, and I kind of wanted it to be, you know, not be off in a corner somewhere where I couldn't see my family, and, you know, that we couldn't all be together. So that was done intentionally, and I'm just happy, especially as they're getting older. Meredith, you just graduated your last.
Yes.
And I graduated one this year too. And then I have Michael, who will graduate in a couple more years. And Those times are just so precious. But go ahead and share with us another one of your ideals.
Well, an important ideal for a supermom is to honor and respect her husband, not just when he's around, but when he's not around. And I try to talk about dad when the kids were little. You know, when the kids were really little, you know, daddy would come home and it would be dinner time, and then it would be pretty much time for their bath and then going to bed. And so much of what the children believed about their dad would be from what I said about him to them. And I think that's very true. I think our children's opinion of their father is very much related to how we talk about him and how we appreciate him or don't appreciate him. So I think it's very important to speak very highly of your husband, to talk about all the good things about him, and to esteem him, to be respectful to him when he's there, and to make it a family affair to give dad, you know, the biggest piece of chicken, to get the house tidy for him when he comes home, to do special things to make him feel valuable and loved. I think that it's worth the time and effort that it would take, and I think it can really make an impact on your husband, but it can also make an impact on your children.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, just recently something came up that came to my attention of a family that the kids are grown up now and the husband left. And the one comment that just, you know, just really made me feel horrible is this dad thought, well, if I leave, nobody will miss me. And that was so far from the truth that would happen, and he just didn't realize his impact on the family, and of course everyone let him know, but you know, dads will feel like that because they're gone and they come back, and a lot of times, you know, we are so caught up and busy, and I will tell you that, you know, has happened around here where my husband comes home and he comes all the way upstairs to find me, and I always feel so bad, and then we actually have a nice time because we sit up here and no one can find us because we're upstairs. my one son has a bedroom up here, and my office is my daughter's, who's now married, her room. And but then, you know, I feel like I need to keep an eye more on the time and make sure I'm available for him. But dad's pretty much a hero around here. He's the expert sports person. I can't, you know, give my kids no advice about anything sports related other than I can attend and cheer for them because it's not how God wired me. So we all have our different talents. So, you know, that is very important, Meredith. And then my number four, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, and I'm actually going to jump into my number five because I think I've mentioned this, is that not everything has to be perfect, and there's an ideal versus a reality. And I know that, like, for me, I had a very, very small house for, you know, the earlier, like, the first 7 years of my marriage. And when I moved out, you know, to the country, which was only, like, 25 minutes away from my other house, but this had some land. And so, you know, as we were building the house, we would have our barbecues and you know, like, grill and eat in the garage because that was the only place that, you know, had the walls up and everything, and as the rest of the house was being built. And and so, you know, like, for me, I had this ideal that when I walked into the front door of my home that I wanted at least the first two rooms to look nice. And even to this day, it pretty much is, well, the one room is anyway, because I turned the formal, what was supposed to be the formal dining room, into an office now. but it does have doors, and I can close all those doors, and so that's good. But that was the ideal I had, and so I didn't want the kids in that room. And the rest of the house, if you continued to walk in, then it was more like a regular, you know, everything, there would be stuff maybe on the floor, toys and things, and that sort of thing. But we have to have the ideal versus what is real. And like, even when my little grandkids come, there is one, you know, two shelves in the living room where they can have all their toys, and when they leave, they can just dump them all back, and that's just theirs. And just some things so that when they're there, everything looks like, you know, a hurricane went through and there's stuff spread all over the place. And then when they're getting ready to leave, we pick up and put things back, and it's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. When I would go by and find, you know, like one little stuffed animal, because my daughter has the kids bring their stuffed animals. Grandma has a place upstairs that used to be her hideaway when she and Neil were little, and now her kids use it. And it's just high enough for little kids to stand, but an adult can't stand up there, and it actually goes over our bathroom. But she didn't have enough room for all of their stuffed animals that the kids didn't want to give away. And so they're allowed, it's the exchange program, that they can bring two home if they leave two here, but I don't ever see it because it's way upstairs. But every once in a while, you know, I'm picking up the little stuffed animal from the floor, and I just started thanking the Lord for that instead of being annoyed. Because you're just thinking, oh, I can't believe they didn't pick it up, and, you know, and here I am. But just being thankful that somebody was over to leave it on the ground. And then my last is going to be filling up your tank. Moms, we are always expending, aren't we, Meredith? We are always giving,
giving.
And then at some point, unless you have a dear friend called Meredith Curtis, you know, talk and pray with before we even begin our podcast and kind of catch up, that, you know, it's very difficult and we get worn out and then we don't have anything left to give. And so podcasts such as this one, there are so many, Making Biblical Family Life Practical, The Finish Well podcast, Homeschooling IRL. I know I'm forgetting a bunch of my other podcasts that are on this network that are, the one I host, Meredith, Mommy Jammy's Night.
Yes.
Those are podcasts that are all about filling up. Okay. They're all about getting, infilled again. This month in particular, coming up, Heather Bowen is going to be the special speaker, and it's Staying Sane Amidst the Chaos. So, you know, she's going to talk about that from the perspective of so many things happening, you know, in life and working. She's a blogger, so a work-at-home mom. And so sometimes we need those times. We need those times to fill up. And Mommy Jammy Night, there's a ton of great presentations. Meredith, you've done presentations more than one time, I know, on Mommy Jammy's Night. And, you know, that are the encouraging presentations for moms to hear, because that is something that we don't do. You know, like everybody else, you know, oh, I have to have a spa day, or I have to have a, you know,
right,
a away day, or I go away for the weekend. And I'm thinking, well, don't you miss everybody? You know, not that you can't. I'm looking here. I found one of yours you did is Forgiveness is a Choice, which is a very good topic. You probably forgot you did that. It was some time ago. But, you know, we forget. We forget that we need to be filled up. And, you know, you think, well, I go to church, you know, and that helps. And that is great. But, you know, there just has to be that time where you're being encouraged, you know, like hopefully you've been encouraged today that you don't, you know, have to be the super mom that the world says you should be. If you make your own granola, that's awesome. I've done that from time to time. I actually like store-bought better. mine's too crunchy. But whatever that is, you know, just be sure that you do spend that little bit of time and fill that tank up again.
That's good advice, Felice. And I think, you know, we not only listening to podcasts and reading books, but sometimes we just, a walk with the Lord around the block can fill us up and refresh us. So But I love all the podcasts on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. There are just so many different ones. And, wow, you could be in one mood and listen to one thing, and then the next day come in another mood and listen to something else. So it's really awesome. My final point is fostering a team spirit. And the truth is, the Bible tells us that we are in a war. And if you look around our nation, if you look around the world, in your city, you see that there is a war of good versus evil, and it can get you down sometimes. It can, you know, make you feel worn out, and you win in the end, Jesus promises. But whenever you're in a battle, whenever you're doing something hard, whenever you're in the midst of hard work, life is better and easier when you're part of a team. The Bible says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. And so foster a team spirit that everybody is on the same page, that we're for one another, we're cheering one another on, we're going to make it to the end, that we're going to do this thing, and don't allow bickering, don't allow hurts to go undealt with, deal with things, and make sure that relationships are restored. And have times, there are times we just pick one person in our family and everyone just tells them, these are all the things I like about you. These are all the things I appreciate about you. And not just on their birthday, but just sometimes randomly. And we need to be the cheerleaders for each other. We need to be helping one another through difficult times. And our children should never feel, or our husband, or even ourselves should never feel like we're in this alone, because we're not. If you're part of a family, you're part of a team, and that team makes you more of a success, and it helps you through the rough times. The Bible says that our children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior, which implies that as a family, there are going to be difficult times, and it's going to feel like a battle. But our children are arrows. They're weapons of defense. They're weapons of aggression. And that means that we're all on the same team. So I just encourage you, as you're putting away the supermom myth, but putting on what it means to be a great mom, just remember, God is for you. He's with you. He's given you your family. He didn't make a mistake. And you are a blessing, and they're a blessing. So enjoy what God has done.
And with that, I think we are going to close this podcast, because that's a wonderful charge for all of you. I think Meredith has summed it up. So thank you, my friend. It has been wonderful. You are such a blessing to so many people. You've certainly enlightened my life, and been that shining star that I can go to for help and for prayers. And so I just hope that this network is the same for those of you listening. So thanks again, Meredith.
Thank you for having me, Felice. God bless you.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.